There are a couple things that come to mind when I think about what we've just begun to experience. How good God is to allow us to get together on Sundays as a family of faith and worship Him together. We take for granted sometimes just the opportunity we have to spend in fellowship with one another, the encouragement we receive from one another, and it's a blessing every Sunday. And the other thing is that last song reminds us of something that the psalmist, Psalm 56 verse 3 says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." Man, that is a great reminder, isn't it? That fear oftentimes grips our hearts. In the midst of that, our faith, rightly aligned, is the remedy for that fear. If you've not been a part of the Eagles Landing family, you just jumped in today, I just tell you, over the last several months, been walking through the book of Philippians. If you don't know where that is in your scripture, in my Bible, it's on page 1100. And we're going to skip ahead a chapter or two and go to Philippians chapter 4. And one of the reasons is because most people are asking the question in an uncertain day like today, what do we do? And I would just say this, I'm thankful for all the response that everyone is given to try to remedy the cause and the spread of this virus. I think everyone's doing the best they can under very difficult circumstances, unprecedented waters when it comes to the medical community, even the social community and worldwide travel. Every area of our life has been affected. It's caught everyone by surprise. And so in one regard, I think one thing we can do is just to support and encourage and pray for all of those that are working, serving, diligently trying to find solutions to the issues that are at hand. The other thing is we just don't know what the future holds. That uncertainty creates unrest in us. To be honest with you, I think all of us are a little bit like control freaks because we want to know what each day holds. We want to know what the next moment holds. We want to know what the future is going to do. And the truth is, we don't know. Whether it comes to personal health or financial health, wherever part of our life that we're thinking about for the future, we're living in a period of uncertainty. And so, as believers, what do we do? What can we do? One thing is for certain. God has not abandoned us. He is faithful to us in good times and in bad. And He reminds us in His Word over and over again that one of the principal things that we can do is we can be diligent in prayer. And one of the primary passages in Philippians that speaks about this subject we call prayer is found in chapter 4, beginning down in verse 4. And I want to read it. We're going to focus our attention on that this morning. And we're just going to answer the question, how should we pray in times like this? And then what we should expect in prayer in times like this. Look down in verse 4. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord's in the Lord always," and I'll say again, rejoice. By the way, let me just remind you, Paul is in Rome, chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. He is in chains, waiting trial before Caesar. And so he's not in the best of circumstances himself, and while he's writing these words to the group of Christians in Philippi, he is in a circumstance himself that would be very unsettling for any person that's probably listening to my voice. And he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and I'll say it again, rejoice. Verse 5, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, I want to briefly just walk through the realities of prayer. Prayer is a grace gift from God to us. That the God of all creation that made everything that there is out of absolute nothing, that holds all things together by the word of His power, invites us to have a conversation with Him, invites us to talk to Him. I mean, that's really what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. I think sometimes we think that you've got to use a certain language. The truth is, God can interpret what's going on in our lives and understands it even before we speak them. But the psalmist reminds us of this in Psalm 27 when he says this, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, and be gracious to me and answer me." Prayer is simply talking to God, and it's an opportunity for us to spend a time in conversation with the Lord. And here's the second thing that's important. The access we have to God is through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, again, Paul's writing a letter, and he writes these words, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him," that is through Jesus, "we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." One of the good news messages in uncertain times like this is there is one thing that's always certain, And that is that God loves us. And he has demonstrated his love in the most personal and powerful way in sending his son Jesus to this earth. Fully God, fully man, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. There was a reason for that. One, he is God in the flesh. And two, he was going to die as a substitute for our sin. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. But Jesus, who had no sin, died. So why did he die? He died for our sin. He became our substitute. He died our death, paid our penalty of sin so that we might have a relationship with Almighty God. And the invitation in Scripture is this: repent and believe in Jesus. Experiencing the forgiveness that only comes through Christ and the presence of God in your life through Christ as well, so that in every day, certain and uncertain, you have the peace of Almighty God dwelling in your heart. And that's a provision for this life and also for the life to come. And I pray, if you've not put your faith and trust in Christ yet for the forgiveness of your sins, for eternal life as a free gift and heaven as a home, that you'll do that today. Once you have, our access to Father, to our Father in heaven is a certainty. Jesus has provided it. And third thing is, we need to pray and we should pray. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 is one of those passages that just reminds us again and again about some of the things in life that we need to have in our heart and life every single day. It tells us in that verse, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. We need to pray. We should be praying. One thing we should be faithful to do every day for ourselves and for others is to pray. And then the fourth thing is something that probably most people are hoping is true, but it is true. And the Scripture assures us of that. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, and that is this, that God answers prayer. The writer of Hebrews says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when you think about all those things together, it reminds us that one thing that we can all do and be faithful to do all the time is to pray. Pray for God to intervene. Pray for God to solve the situation, to help us solve the situation. Pray for God to save those that are sick and heal those and provide restoration in their own life. Pray that he would protect us and strengthen us and give us an opportunity to be his hands and feet and share the love of Almighty God with the world around us. So Paul, I think, in Philippians chapter 4 actually gives us a few things that we can do in prayer and teaches us how to pray. He reveals the problem, he offers a plan, and then he gives us a remarkable promise. He tells us to refocus our hearts, to pray, and then enjoy the peace that only God can provide. And so, let's just look down in verse 4. This is what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. I think the reason that Paul maybe repeats himself in that prayer, that people are reading this and they're thinking, you're a prisoner, why are you writing rejoice in the Lord? He just wanted to make sure that everybody understood, in good circumstances and in bad, God is still in control, and we can put our hope in him, and he is the one who provides us joy and strength in uncertain times. See, everything in the world can change. And I think all of us are learning that. Life is fragile. And this kind of virus that's shaken the whole planet and made people nervous and afraid all over the globe reminds us how fragile life is. But in the face of that, we know one who is certain, and that is our great God and King. We put our trust and hope in him, and in him we rejoice and find joy and strength. The second thing he says is maybe the most challenging. In verse 5, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. That translation of the word to an English word, reasonableness, is very difficult for us to understand. It's hard for us to really capture the meaning of what was written in Greek. But what he's teaching us is this, that in uncertain situations, the gentleness that comes from the confidence of knowing that God is in control should be evident in our lives. The Lord has not abandoned us. And Paul was revealing that in his own life. He's in a Roman jail cell, under house arrest, chained to a prison guard. And yet at the same time, he knows the Lord is at hand. And in his own life, he should reflect that gentleness and spirit of patience in his own heart. And we should too. I was listening to the news today, and this morning when I got up early, and talking about some fights that had taken place in New York and even in Georgia over buggies and toilet paper, of all things. It's amazing what we'll fight about during times of unrest. As believers, one thing we need to be faithful to do is to be faithful in prayer so that we're reminded every day in the midst of the crisis that God is still with us. He has not abandoned us. And a quiet and gentle spirit is reflected to the rest of the world to encourage them that Almighty God has not left us during this crisis. And then he tells us in verse 6, and this is the one that's so challenging, do not be anxious about anything. Man, we all fear something. But I think in days like today, we have been reminded of how uncertain the future can be and unsettling things can be, how quickly things can change. In a moment's notice, things can change. What you thought was certain yesterday is not certain today. I mean, if we'd have backed up the calendar just a couple of weeks and you said, we're not going to be meeting in church in 2 weeks. We're only going to have 25 people in the worship center, and that's just staff. They've got to be there because they're told to be there. Everybody else is staying home. We're all going to watch online. You'd said, you're absolutely crazy. You've been watching too many movies. Truth is, in just a matter of a couple of weeks, everything has changed. It causes us to be anxious. And sometimes we're riddled with fear. I think sometimes we'll admit it readily that we battle fear and have struggled with it. And other times we'll try to hide it and cover up by an overstatement of confidence in our life. What Paul reminds us in the midst of this is that as believers, we should not fear and be dominated by fear. In fact, what he says is essentially what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. I want to just read a rather extended section of Scripture. These are the words of Jesus. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And here's the admonition and instruction. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In fact, Jesus sums up with these words. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What Jesus reminds us of is this, that we usually get overcome with fear when our most basic needs are threatened. But it is through supplying our most basic needs that God reveals his great love and care for us. He is the supplier of all things, and in him we trust. In other words, what he's telling us is the cure for this kind of anxiety is our relationship with God. And the way we're reminded of that day in and day out is simply to pray. And so on the heels of saying in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, Paul writes, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I love that. That's the plan. What do we do when we're overrun with anxiousness, when worry occupies our heart, keeps us up at night, won't let us think straight, causes us to react in an unruly or irrational fashion? What do? We pray. We pray so that we'll be reminded of God's amazing presence in our life and control and work in this world, so that we're reminded of how much he loves us, reminded that he is always with us and he will supply our needs. In fact, he mentions it 3 times in this verse. He talks about prayer in the very beginning and everything by prayer, and then in following it up with supplication, and then later with the word request. He uses this repetitive admonition to pray with 3 different words. Prayer, just a general word for prayer. Supplication, reminding us to ask for God's help. We need to ask for God's help. And third, he mentions it in request, make our requests known to God. Be specific in our request. Finally, though, in the middle of all of this, he says we need to do all of these, each of these, with thanksgiving. That's interesting, isn't it? We need to be grateful that God's listening. We need to be grateful that God is able to meet every single need and that our lives rest entirely in His hands. And so it's an important note about Thanksgiving is this attitude is not the result of the answer we get. This attitude in spirit is a result of the one that we get to talk to. There's a blessing in that. You know, when my father became ill, and my dad, though he was small, was kind of a rock. He had an even keel spirit about him. So all the world could be shaken, and this wee little man would stand strong in faith. He had learned how to trust in God. So in the middle of all that was going on the last days of his life, one of the things that was really encouraging to sit by his bed in the hospital and talk to him. And when he had those moments when everything was clear, and he would look me in the eye and say, "It's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm ready to go." It's good to talk to my father in those times. It's good for us to talk to our father in those times. My dad was just my earthly dad. He was so stable because his faith rested not in himself, but in Almighty God. The same thing is true for us. Our God is our strength. And so just to talk to him, we should be grateful, knowing that we can trust him however he provides. At the end of the day, when all is said and done, he's going to do what's just and right because he is loving and kind and full of grace. And we can put our trust in him. Here's the third thing that's interesting, though. Down in verse 7, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Anxiety has a remedy. It's the peace of God. It's not just saying, "I'm not going to let fear get the best of me." It's not just saying, "Hey, we're going to solve this," and positive thinking. It's putting our trust in Almighty God and waiting for him to supply the peace that rests inside of us. I mean, I love the way this is written. He's making it very clear to us that he knows us. Listen to what he writes. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," which literally means and reminds us that in uncertain times, God can provide peace, and it's beyond our ability to even understand why we have peace in such troubling times. It's because God's greater than our troubles, and he will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. You know, we usually overcome with fear and anxiety. Our minds race for a solution. Worry drives us. We can't sleep at night. Sometimes we can't even make a good decision because of the so many things that are running through our minds. It won't stop. People don't sleep. In the midst of that, he says, "If you will pray and put your trust in me, I'll guard your mind with my peace." And then, you know, when we get worried and get anxious, people become sick internally, unsettled in their soul. Their heart slides down in their stomach. You can feel your heartbeat in your stomach because you're so anxious and worried about things. I'm sure there are a lot of people that are feeling that kind of anxiety right now. And in the midst of that, God's word says this, he will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's good news for us. And so three things I want to leave you with today. One, know this. God gives peace as a gift. We don't earn it. If somewhere along the way you're thinking, "Boy, I'm going to do a lot of good deeds this week so God will give me peace in my heart." It's good to do those good deeds and extend the mercy and grace of God to others. But the peace that God gives is not because we deserve it. It's because he is gracious to us and he loves us. He invades the life of the believer and he produces this peace through his presence. It's a calmness of soul that overwhelms us when we know that our life rests in the hands of Almighty God. And no matter what happens in this world, we are secure. The second thing is this. Possessing peace does not require understanding the present situation or the details of the future. Our peace is found in confidence in God, not in our circumstances. In other words, we may not know what's going to happen for weeks. It's unsettling, isn't it? It's going to be an odd time in our world for sure. Our lives are going to be a little bit out of sorts. The natural rhythms of life that we experience and enjoy every single day are probably not going to happen for a little while. In the midst of that, we're not waiting for those things to settle down and our routines to return for us to have any sense of peace. God's bigger than circumstances. And His peace resides in us in spite of unsettling circumstances. And then the third thing is this. The peace of God stands guard over us, both our hearts and our minds. And He alone is the remedy to our anxiety. And we can put our trust in Him. So my invitation to you today is, listen, in this time, this downtime, which we're all going to have a little bit more downtime, for one reason or another, it may be that your workplace is not going to have you at the office. It may be that you're not going to have the drive time that you normally have. It may be that some of the routines in your life are going to be disturbed. You're not going to the ball field. You're not going to the grocery store as much. You're going to have more time at home. Your family might have more time together. But I would just encourage you that in the downtime, instead of just wasting the time, make the use of the time. Use it as a spiritual retreat in your own life. Spend more time in God's Word. You read this book, you hear His voice. You want to hear the voice of God? Stay in God's Word. Book of Philippians is one of those great books to read. Read it over and over again. I do right now, 3 or 4 times a day. Just to be reminded of what God's Word says, to hear God's voice. And invest more time in prayer. Maybe for the first time in your life, since your family is going to be together, you can have family altar. Just get together. Maybe it's the coffee table or the kitchen table. You open up the Bible and pray. And together you pray for God to work and God to move. Pray for God to give wisdom to those that are trying to make decisions to provide a remedy to this situation. Pray for God to make His great name known to those around this world. In the midst of this crisis, that we'd find hope in this world, and our hope rests in Jesus. Pray for those that are serving as the hands and feet of Jesus, both in our country and around the world, to extend grace and mercy to those in this world. And pray for God to heal the sick and to give us hope again. It's not a bad thing to do. Since life has pushed pause and we're out of our normal routines, maybe we should make some new routines. And one of those is just learning how to pray. By the way, it might be family altar time is good, but maybe one thing that you haven't done for a long time is just to set a time aside each day for you to get alone with God. And maybe when this downtime, when you have more time, instead of just watching more movies, listening to more music, having more conversations, maybe you just need to have more conversations with God. Get alone. Make your closet your prayer closet. Shut the door, like the scripture says. Take God's word, read it. And then from the depths of your own soul, cry out to God. And He will hear, and He will answer. For God is our God, and He has displayed His great love for us, and He wants to hear our voice. I think about Jesus when He was talking to the disciples about prayer, and when He was teaching them how to pray, He told them to pray, "Our Father in heaven." Reminds us that Jesus didn't say, "Don't pray." Jesus said, "God is our Father, and He wants to hear from us." So pray.